The question is this: what is it that has some of us find our way to the top of our game, to overcome adversity and challenges, resistance and self-sabotage, to rise from the ashes time and time again? What is it that has everyday people just like you and I act boldly in the name of their passions and live out their wildest dreams in this lifetime? That is the question, and this podcast has the answers. My name is Carrie McCauley, and this is Choose Unstoppable. Hello, and welcome to Choose Unstoppable. My name is Carrie McCauley, and today you guys are in for such a treat. I'm so excited to introduce you to Donna Atmani. Let me just give you a little background on her. So she's a soul-centered professional coach and recovering Wonder Woman. Oh, I love that line. She left her leadership position to start her practice with no money in the bank and no clients lined up. This is how all of my favorite stories start. And she believes the hallmarks of success and total badassery are living authentically, honoring your deepest truths, and learning to have compassion for yourself and others. Oh, I can't wait to get into this conversation. Thanks, Donna, for being here and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, full transparency, I know a little about you, maybe a little more than you know about me even, but I do not know the story that's about to unfold. I'm super excited to hear because there's nothing I love more than a courageous jump into the deep end before you've even had a chance to look for any water wings. You're just like, something is calling me and I am going to close my eyes and jump. But I don't want to take away too much of the thunder to jump into the middle of the story. Can I ask you to take us back to before this total badass version came to be?
Absolutely. It's interesting. I started my career. I feel like I've always had a little bit of this leap and do it in me. Well, actually, I shouldn't say I always had it. I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania, and it was like the most homogenous community. Like, it was wonderful where I grew up, but it was very homogenous. And I feel like the leap started right after college. I kind of followed my big sister. We were like the first ones in our family to go to college. And so I kind of just kept following my big sister everywhere. I followed her to college. Then I followed her to Cleveland where she lived. And then she moved to LA. And I was like, what? Like, she moved to LA and I'm sitting here in Cleveland and I'm dying because I'm like, all my friends were married or I was working with people that were in high school. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? And that got me my first big calling to go to New York City. I went and visited friends one weekend and was crying about like how I hated my life. And they're like, you should just move here. It's the retail capital of the world. And I was like, I should just move here. And I literally went home on the plane, made up to like a pro and con list, and was like, my pro list was super long and my con list was super short. I'm like, I'm out. I'm moving to New York City. And yes. She was like, what? I have one in LA now and one in New York City. This is crazy. So I moved to New York City and started my retail career. Throughout my retail career, I really learned a ton when I moved to New York City. It's like, at that time, they were really investing in managers. I was a store manager for Gap Inc. And they were really investing in us. And so I was really learning a lot about running a brand and running a business and operations and all of that good stuff. And I was also, I threw myself totally into my work. I was working all the time. And then the what I always call like the dissatisfaction bug started to hit. Like, it's how I always now know that there's a change coming. Starts out with like, I'm just kind of whiny and complaining about what's happening in my life. You know, at that time, my husband was kind of whining and complaining about, I'm never around. I'm always tired. And I'm like, you don't understand me. I'm always working. And then I was like, yeah, I'm always working. No wonder I'm exhausted. Never have any time for you. Okay. That explains things. But just really like starting to feel that dissatisfaction and really recognizing, oh my God, like my soul was longing for work that I loved to do. People would just be like, just get a job. Who cares? And I was like, you know, just, it's just a job. Have fun on the side. And inside of me, I was, this will not go to rest. I need to be doing work that I loved. And so at that time, my older sister, again, because I follow my older sister everywhere, was living in California, and she found this program and this school called the University of Santa Monica. And they had a master's degree in spiritual psychology. And I started witnessing my sister, who even though I followed my older sister everywhere, we had a lot of challenges. Like, she had a lot of challenges in her life and a lot of anxiety, a lot of like, you know, it was kind of hard. She and I kind of had a hard relationship with connecting at times. She would get very agitated and aggravated with me. And so I would get agitated and aggravated with her. But as I watched her husband went through the program. But as I watched my sister go through the program, I saw her completely, like her anxiety, just calm, peacefulness, loving, easier to connect with. We were having deep conversations. And at that same time, I was at work feeling all that dissatisfaction. I was newly married. I'd never even been in a serious relationship, and now I'm married. That's kicking so much shit up. Am I allowed to swear on your podcast?
Whatever you want, girlfriend.
Okay. And I was like, I was a mess. I was starting to become like a mess. And I had just been, in this time, Gap Inc. had like kind of moved, was moving a lot of people around. Anyway, they were going through a bunch of stuff infrastructurally. So I'd been in 3 stores in a year. And I got my review that year and did not get a raise. I'd been working my ass off because they kept, I was good enough that they were putting me in all these stores to help clean them up. But because I wasn't hitting certain numbers yet, I didn't get a raise. And that was the moment when I was like, what are you doing with your life? Now, let me tell you, they did say, we're going to re-review you in 6 weeks. You know, you'll get a raise, blah, blah, blah. But it was the wake up call. I am doing something. I'm off course here. Mm. And so my sister's like, you should fly out here. It was designed for the master's program. You could fly out to California 1 week in a month, you know, and do the school. It was designed to do that. But I was like, that's ridiculous. Yeah, I'll just fly to California once a month. Sure, puff, puff. Like I was in retail, I was making no money. I'm like, what are you talking about? But I went to her graduation and saw and started talking to people that were also graduating, and they were having the similar transformations that my sister was having. And I was like, cried the whole weekend, like cried my eyes out. And I was like, I have to find a way to do this. So again, the next leap was like, I applied.
I did
get in. That was, I applied in August 2001. So we know what's coming next. September 2001, September 11th.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And I remember like wanting to volunteer and help out in New York City where I live. And what can I do to make a difference? I was married to a Muslim at the time. I was like, this was like huge inside of me. Like this, like, what is going on this planet that could happen where I live and to people, you know? And so it solidified my commitment, and I started flying back and forth to California from New York City for not only the 2 years of the master's program, but I ended up flying back and forth over the course of, in a 10-year period, I went 6 times. I flew for 6 different reasons because it was like, I'd found a language, a way of being, a way of feeling held by life, by the divine, how to work with myself, how to be compassionate when my shit was coming up, how to, you know, when I saw the name of your podcast, the Choose Unstoppable, the only way that I've learned to be unstoppable and to keep moving, following these inner promptings and moving forward is because of the work I learned at the University of Santa Monica in spiritual psychology, because I now know that if there's something going on inside of me, if there's fear, that's not authentic fear. It's like, or it's authentic fear, but it's not who I authentically am. And I now know how to work with that. And so that got me. So USM was like, you know, and spiritual psychology really opened the doors for me. And then that got me to finding work that I loved. So the first stop was the School of Womanly Arts, working for Regina Thomashower, which is where we've met.
That's exactly where we met. Before you go on, I want to just pause on something that you said that I think is so, so valuable to so many of us. And that was your way of saying it was the dissatisfaction bug.
Yeah.
And like how we get into that dissatisfied space or that dissatisfied place and don't receive it as like a nudge to be like, okay, our work here is done. Like we see it as this weight and this, like, even the word dissatisfied, it's like, as though it's a bad thing. Cause you're just like, oh, this isn't fueling me. This isn't. And we feel resigned as opposed to just as you were sharing, I was like, man, that was, those were like the little nudges that come, like that dissatisfaction bug is actually like the bit of oxygen is to be like, oh, I might be complete here.
Right. Like,
so almost something to celebrate because you were just complete there and it was time to start looking for something else. But I wanted to just pause on it because so many of us, myself included, as I look back on life, but I know so many of us in those times, we go inward with darkness and weight, as opposed to being like, oh, wait a minute, I'm where I was once thriving and fulfilled. Cause I can look back at my own career and my own big changes that I made where I was once thriving and fulfilled. Like,
right.
I think my work here may be done and it's
right.
time for something new, like with excitement. So yes. I know that there's many people listening only because there's the two of us and we've been through it, but we know that maybe that sense of dissatisfaction is just the nudge we need to be like, oh, something else. I'm now ready. Like, I've passed the level in this video game and I'm
yeah,
ready to
totally.
Like, next level it and go somewhere else. So I just wanted to say thanks for sharing it that way, because I think that dissatisfaction bug happens several times throughout
yes.
life.
Yeah,
and we can like for embrace sure. it and almost be like, oh, there it is. I don't feel fulfilled. I feel a little annoyed. I feel a little moody. I feel like maybe there's something more. My work here is done and it's time to take another leap.
Yes. Yes. I love the way you slowed that down, because there is also this piece of, I think one of the things that happens, at least this happened for me, so I'm curious how it was for you. It's like at first with the dissatisfaction, it's like this, like, was this me being dissatisfied or is there something here for me to learn? Is it time for me to go? Like, that's been a big theme in my life. Is it time for me to go, or is there still something here for me to learn? And I think especially showed up in my marriage. I felt the dissatisfaction bug for a while, but there was a part of me that's like, it's not time. And I really struggled with that. I made myself wrong. Why are you not leaving? Why are you not moving on? Part of what I learned in spiritual psychology is it's like, it's part of our soul's curriculum. Like, we each have a curriculum that we came here to learn. My belief system, it's like, came here to learn certain things and to grow and evolve in our own consciousness and to experience greater levels of love and peace and all of that stuff. And sometimes that dissatisfaction comes when we're running old tapes and old stories. And sometimes by shifting the old tapes and old stories, it's not about leaving. It's about deepening. And so I think a big thing is and this is why I think a lot of people go to coaching or go to therapy or go to something, because they're trying to discern, which is it?
Yeah.
We don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to blow something up. We don't want to just go recreate it somewhere else. You know, it's like, so there is a slowing down process that sometimes is actually necessary. I think sometimes it is necessary to do it the way you're talking about, like where it's like, how about we just recognize it and just like embrace it faster?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it's a big, deep, dark journey that we learn a lot from, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I think my personality, and it's probably why, you know, it takes, because wherever you go, there you are. And it takes several times to learn certain lessons. My style is always, okay, if I'm not happy somewhere, do something about it. Like, if I'm not feeling it, if it's not, like, then it's up to me. It's always up to me. And it's always like, okay, well, it's not doing it. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm, you know, married, I don't know, I think 7.5 years now, but it took me till I was 39 to get married. And up until then, it was just like, well, if this isn't working, I'll see you later. I'll be going over here. But I do think there's some real value in it's still that little dissatisfaction bug, though. It is an invitation as opposed to a wait. It's just like so what do I do with this? This isn't something that's bad and wrong. It's not because I've done something. It's inevitable as we evolve and grow through life. So what do I do with this dissatisfaction
bug? Yes.
The words now.
Great.
Okay, so I love that. So now we're at the School of Womanly Arts, which is one of my favorite places on planet Earth. And so how did that all go? Let's carry on with the story.
Oh, the story. Well, again, here I was. Oh my gosh, I'm so dissatisfied with my retail career. And then I made one move out of retail. I got into outsourcing and I was project managing at an insurance company. And I was like,
so sexy.
And I was like, God, what are you doing to me here? what am I supposed to be learning here? But seriously, everything I learned at that place and in retail, I was able to bring to the School of Womanly Arts, because I started working with Regina. I took the very first mastery program and I was going to take the second mastery program. I signed up and everything. And then I ended up working at the school, and I ended up taking all of my organizational, operational things that I had like looked back at my life and was like, what am I doing here in baby clothes? And what am I doing here at Bed Bath & Beyond? And what am I doing here at like, you know, this outsourcing company? And every skill set that I had learned, I was able to bring to the school to start creating stability through systems and organization and things like that. So I started with, I started with her back in, oh my gosh, I don't even know what the year was because I can't count that one. But so I started with her and ended up working with her for about 10 years. I did leave for a little while, thought I was going to start my own coaching practice way back 4 years into my journey with her. I just had a son. She was going through some transition in the business. She had cut back our hours. She was going to write a book. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try to go on my own. And it worked for a little while, and then it didn't. I worked for Barbara Stanley for a little bit. I taught some of her overcoming under earning classes. I did marketing work for, you know, individuals. And then, but then I was going through a really big transition with my marriage. I was really starting to own, like, you know, it's not changing. I'm doing a lot of inner work. I've grown, I've done a lot, but really it's not changing. And so I knew that I couldn't leave a marriage unless I had steady income. I mean, I live in New York City. I have, you know, have son. I was like, I've got to, you know, whatever. So I reached out to Regina, even thinking like, I'll just start working for her for a little bit while I still try to grow my business, you know? And what ended up happening was, you know, sometimes the divine has a bigger plan. I ended up working for her full time for the next 5 years while she grew, I think it was 5 years, while she was growing the organization. And we had a ball. Like, there was so many years. It's like, it was so like, talk about soul satisfying, like the team I worked with, what we were building, where we were going as a company, the amount of women we started to touch. I mean, we went from like, you know, 100 people at a yoga studio to like theaters with like 700 women. Or when we got to the Javits Center, it was like the most crazy. I mean, I was like, this is such a career highlight. Like, I'm at the Javits Center in New York City and there's 2,000 women in a room. So amazing and so satisfying to work as a team and all that. But I also, the pace was starting to really wear me down. I was starting, you know, it was like that thing where it's like, it's satisfying. Yeah. This is amazing. Oh my God, I'm dying. Like, that's what started to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's so great is it's because it's us that change it. Like, cause you look around, like I can look at my, you know, 17 year career. And it was like, all I want, I was like, you know, I was going to the top and then it was like everything. It was my social circle. It was my life. It was so glamorous. We were all, you know, I was traveling, and then all of a sudden it just wasn't, but it wasn't nothing else around. Like, it wasn't that it at all, there was this big drastic change in the, you know, the advertising world was just so different than when it was none of that. It was just me one day being like, oh, wait a minute. I've outgrown this, like I've evolved past this, or this isn't serving me and my life anymore.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that's how it started to feel. I mean, and I wish I was that graceful and like, oh, I recognized it. No, what happened for me was I found myself. So I was working 40 to 50 hours a week. I had my kid who at that time was 7, 8, has ADHD. Mm-hmm. I have him 5 days a week, sometimes 6. I'm coaching on the side. So he'd leave and I would go drink my face off till I was blacking out. And I was like, that's so cute. Look how cute. I'm sexy. I'm hot. I'm going out. I'm drinking. I'm partying. Look at me living the life. No, I was like totally like trying to escape my life. And I also put on 50 pounds in 1 year. And I found myself crying at work half the time. Like, we'd be at an event and at the end of the event, I'd be sobbing in one of the back rooms. And my friends were like at work, were like, girl, you're not happy. Like, you got to do something different. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm making the most money I've ever made. Like you said, this is my identity. Like, I am like, I was the person with the longest history at the school. I was kind of like the hit, you know, it's like, I knew everything. I had the background. I knew what to do. I was using my gifts and talents. I loved working with Regina. Like, creatively, it was so like, you know, it was challenging. Don't get me wrong. There were some challenging times too. Of course, it wasn't like all roses, but there was so much tied to it. I'm gonna have to figure out how to get unhappy because this is what I have to do. I'm a mom. I got to keep a roof over our head. Ugh.
Yeah. I want to dig into that until finally moment, because I think, God, so many of us struggle with, I would love to do something different, but I've got kids, oh, totally. Young kids, middle-aged kids, teenage yeah. kids, baby, doesn't yeah. matter which state, it's like the buts are like, there's so many of totally. Them. It's like, but I don't have any other skill sets, but I've lived here all my life, but my parents are now getting, like, insert right. anything. There's right. always there's always the justifications to stay
totally
unhappy.
Totally.
And it's as though we just have it on the menu as yeah. an option. And if it's on the menu as an option, it's the easiest, safest, most known and familiar option. You're just going to get the mac and cheese because you always get the mac and cheese. And you think like, well, I can't do that because it might take, like, you just, it's right. there on the menu. And so there are few of us, and I, you know, admire you for your courage, that are willing to say, well, everything isn't perfectly lined up. Everything isn't because it never will be, but we don't really relate to it that way. We're just waiting
yeah.
until something happens, until I get more certifications, until I get a bigger audience, until I get my first client. Like, there's always the until to justify the staying in the dissatisfaction or the unhappy yeah. situation. And so what was it about, like, you know, in your bio, you said you started with, you know, no money in the bank, no clients lined up, no nothing. You just had an overwhelming dissatisfaction bug with you nudging you to do something. So what is in that moment, if you take us like right up to the moment where you yeah. were, I'm leaving, I don't know if you handed me whatever that story is, but can you yeah. take us to there and like, what was the experience? Like, how were you feeling? Were you afraid? Were you just like empowered and lit up? What was going on with you when you like finally said, this is enough?
Yeah. Well, what I love about this is, you're so right. There had been many times where I've been like afraid to leave and like do all that stuff. And, you know, the menu was like, it was always like, no, I can't. And I feel like one of the premises that I work with my clients, and because I've lived it, is like how life will also show up to support you in going where you want to go. So what started happening was there were three of us, three heads of different departments that were on the leadership team at the school. And one of them, our friend Lauren, left. She decided she was hitting that point, like where she was like, I want to go do something different. I've been doing this 7 years. I'm starting to feel like, and so she and I had been talking about it, and she's like, I'm going to give my notice. And I was like, wait, I was going to give my notice. You can't give your notice. Like, what are you talking about? And then, but I realized I wasn't ready. So she gave her notice. So that was happening in the school. So to me, I started feeling this sea change starting to happen, mm-hmm. almost like we always said, it's like we had this soul contract. We all came in together to help the school grow mm-hmm. to this. Me, Lauren, and Hannah were the three. When we all worked together, it was like, we just kept saying like, we're kind of in this together. Like we all like, you know, whatever. So she left. And then like a few months later, Hannah decided that her and her wife were leaving as well. They were moving out of the city. So all of a sudden Regina's looking at me. Now in my head, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I still don't feel ready. Like I still don't feel ready,
yeah.
but shit's changing. My two compatriots that like, we all kind of held each yeah. other up. We're like leaving. And then Regina was starting to get this, I won't tell her story, but there was stuff that like, she was starting to recognize for herself about what she wanted to create. So she looks at me and, well, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I want to do, but started realizing, oh my God, if they're leaving, what's the next hard going to be? Is it going to be hard helping Regina build her business in a new way? Is it going to be hard me go on my own? And like, if I'm going to do that hard, at least that hard I'm in control of,
yeah.
but it took me a while to really like, she kept kind of pressing me, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. But it really forced me. It was like life forced me to go, what do you want? What yeah. do you want? And I started here. I wasn't like, I'm so excited to start my coaching practice. That was not the pull. The pull was, I need to be working at my own pace. I need spaciousness in my life. I'm currently suffocating with responsibilities. And to do, this is why I call myself a recovering Wonder Woman. It's like, I was wearing that damn cape everywhere, to the yes. store, to, you know, like putting the kid to bed. I was wearing it to like, I don't know, everywhere. It was like Miss Responsibility, the person everybody loved to have on their team, mm-hmm. making sure everything was happening, making sure all the trains were running. And I was resentful, bitter, exhausted. Mm-hmm. It became, I got clear that I was going to leave as well. I thought I was going to be leaving and giving myself this big runway, thought I was doing all this like great stuff. I'll stay for the next 6 months and help you. And Regina and another person that was helping the school out was like, actually, we think it'd be better if you were done. And it was like in 2 months because of the things she wanted to start doing. Yeah. And I was like, I like shit my pants. I was like, I'm not ready for that. And I was so mad. I was like, what? I'm like, I just finally got on board like with leaving. Yeah. And now life's like, nope, you're gonna go. And but it was really great because it just like all of a sudden I just saw, okay, life is presenting you with these like what you want. And even though I was scared, I knew, okay, we're onto something. It was like I felt a sense of peace and scared at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. I heard somebody a couple of days ago talking about fear. And that fear is, you know, great to pay attention to. It's always there. Fear without desire and excitement is the fear that you can like invite into the front seat for a moment. Cause it's just like, that's just true fear. But when there's fear with desire and excitement at the same time, then that's when you know that, you know, that's something to take.
Yes.
Like a path to follow. And I thought that was a really great way of distinguishing it. And so I want to ask, just because I think back to me in that situation, the morning you wake up after your last day, was it still like this like vista of freedom, or were you like down? Yeah. Were you lost?
Yeah, it was still the vista.
Like, what have I done? Oh, it was.
Yeah, no, it was the vista of freedom the day after. It was like, I think I got up, took my kid to school, and then came home and went back to bed. I think that's what happened. Like that
yeah.
I could.
But like in a great way. Yeah.
In a great way. I was like, nope. I just felt so like, it was like all of a sudden my job was to like, I kept talking. I have a lot of conversations with God. For me and God, it's just like, I'm talking to you right now. I'll be like, yeah. What are you doing? Like, what's happening here? Like, what really, you want me to leave with no money in the bank? Are you sure I shouldn't line up a few clients? And I just kept hearing, finish well, button this up so you can be complete and walk away. That's your job right now. And I promise you're going to be fine on the other side of this. And I was like, okay, that sounds like, it feels good when I hear you say it, but trusting it was a little scary. So, but yeah, I remember that first day, I think I dropped him off, went back to sleep for a little while. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to take the ferry and I'm going to go to Brooklyn Bridge Park. And that's what I did. I sat at Brooklyn Bridge. I have pictures of myself, like feet up on a bench, like I'm doing this. And I feel like that first few months was like that. It was like swinging from like, yes, you're so on purpose. This is the right thing. And things were showing up. Like things kept showing up. Like even, I remember one part of the conversation was like, all right, well, you made me do this, God. Like you were clear that I needed to have no clients. I have zero drive, zero energy to create anything right now. If there are people you want me to serve, if there's ways you want me to make money, you need to plop that in front of my face or it's not happening. And I'm going to be mad at you. Very weird way to talk to God, but it was true. And it was like, and that's what happened. I just kept really being totally authentic and honest and being like, I will serve, I will do whatever you want. And so things started lining up and things started flowing. But I was having panic attacks, like for real, should go to the hospital, thought I was having a heart attack, panic attacks about money. Room would start spinning. I'm like, who am I going to call? My kid's going to find me dead on the floor. Like that is how intense the fear was that I, like, it was a swing. Be like, I'm totally fine. I got it. I feel held. Fall on, like, totally panic attack. So it was a mixture.
Were there moments, more so in the panic attacky moments, where you were like, I've made a huge mistake, this isn't my journey, or you were still like this is just something else I'm going to get through, I'm just something else
it was that I knew, even though in those moments it was so scary, never did I think I should go get a, actually, is that true that I never thought that? I let myself say, if I really can't pull this off, I'll do whatever I need to, like I'll get a job, whatever. But I never thought I made a mistake. I just thought, I'm really being tested on believing that I am being held. To me, that was one of my big soul's learnings. am I being held? Like, is this like an experience? Like, does God really have me? Is this a bunch of bullshit? Is I have lucked out up until now, and now I'm fucked. Like, now it's all over. Like, this is like the one time it's not going to work. And I just had to, it really helped me to develop the skill of discernment. I know when I'm in that fear, my job is to hold, like, for my higher self, I call it my higher self, what you call it, your intuition, your soul self, whatever you want to call it. That part of me learned to be with and hold the parts that were really scared and to really develop a voice of encouragement. I was saying before about being compassionate. It's like, God, of course you're scared. You're like, you're a mom that's in charge of your own finances. You live in Manhattan. You can't leave Manhattan because his dad's here and you guys all want to be near each other. And that's good for Aiden. This has to work out. And so this piece of like, really being loving and encouraging myself and not stop this mindset. What's wrong with you? Yeah. Like just, you made the decision, now deal with it. Like I could have had that voice and that it, which is the voice many of us have had or have grown up with or have learned that that's the way to motivate ourselves, push ourselves. We really dismiss and want to push away, just like we did with the dissatisfaction. We want to like push it away or make it wrong or make it bad. It's the same with fear, or when we get frozen or get resistant, it learning. And some of my clients have like really watching them learn how to like be with themselves and be compassionate and work with those different parts of us. I learned I will get through that feeling. Not only by myself, but I remember one day I was walking down the street in Manhattan and was freaking out because I had a client that was like, it, like the project wasn't going the way I wanted it to. And it was like, was not working. And I started like, really like, what if this doesn't work? What if I don't get paid? What if this happens? And the anxiety was starting to come up. And I remember stopping in the middle of the street. I was near my kid's school. I stopped in the middle of the street and I was like, you're doing it again. Just remember, God loves you. God wants this to work. You're being held. Everything is fine. And literally at that moment, this dragonfly, now dragonflies are like one of my symbols that like, whenever I see one, it's always like magical for me. So I'm in Manhattan. There's a dragonfly about, I don't know, 6 inches long. The biggest dragonfly I've ever seen flies right towards me, hovers by my left shoulder. As I'm having this thought, like, don't forget, God loves you. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine. Life's got you. Hovers by my shoulder and then takes off. And I was like, oh, okay, guess I'm going to be okay. All right. Thanks. Got it. Thanks. Yep. Good affirmation. High five, God. That was a good one.
So incredible. You know, so admire your fortitude and courage and willingness to embrace the ride, because so many of us just assume that it's supposed to be smoother, or we're supposed to feel better about it, or we're supposed to be better at it, all of those things. And I think that's really where a lot of the heartbreak comes from, making changes, that we have all of these shoulds on ourselves, like we should be happy right away. We should be successful right away. It should be faster. It should be feeling different. People should have, like, there's all of that, as opposed to just knowing that when you step off that ledge, like tsunamis are going to come. And then in the next minute is going to be peace and calm. And then the next minute is going to be another crazy ride. And the more we can normalize it, which is really one of the reasons I started this podcast, was just to normalize the craziness of it, the seemingly craziness, or the internalization that it must be us. It must be me personally that it's not working out for, or I'm not the one chosen to walk this path because my path looks so rocky and bumpy. So, you know, I'm always just in awe of and in love with the people who are just like, I'm just going to keep walking anyway. I know this doesn't feel like perfection in every moment, but it's time to keep walking anyway. So tell me now about what, like, how does your business look now? What is it that you do? Who are you working with? Who are the people you're helping? What's happening now?
Yeah, it's been such an evolution in terms of like the type of work that I've been doing with people, but you know, I've like taken it really on. It's like, what wants to come in now? And so like when I first started, it was doing one-on-one, then one-on-one coaching with women, typically work with women that have already done a bunch of personal growth and development work, but are not experiencing a sense of, they still don't feel relaxed inside themselves. They still don't really trust that it's all unfold. There's like a way that they're wanting to experience like feeling in alignment with themselves mm-hmm. and with life, and feeling held, that they're really on a soul's journey, that there's like, that if shit's coming up, it's coming up for in service to what they want, and they learn how to work with it. So I did a bunch of one-on-one, then I started doing classes. I did group coaching. I created a program with our friend Lauren. We did a class for coaches and facilitators called the Sacred Sustainable Practice, teaching people these skills like around like, when you start a business, you can do it in a way that's aligned. You don't, not everybody wants big followings. Not everybody, you know, puts out invitations, but like, what's your way? And so we worked with coaches doing that for a while. And then I'm really back on one of the things I'm starting to notice in my practice, when I work with people, the type of work that I do in the transition in learning, like this way of thinking and being with yourself, when people hit like a year and a half of working with me, is when they start to really feel grounded in themselves. They're experiencing way more peace inside. They're having more fun, and there's more ease because they've learned that life doesn't have to be such a roller coaster. You don't have to get taken out. Like if you're having feelings about something, that it's not about managing that feeling. It's about being with yourself in new ways and being compassionate and developing that inner voice that knows how to like take care of ourselves while we're going through that process. So I'm doing more long-term packages with people who are really ready. They're like, you know, I've done all this work, but I'm still not experiencing this level of peace in my everyday experience and chasing things and going after things and making things happen isn't as fulfilling as it used to be. So how do I align? How do I allow? How do I attune versus, yeah, all that like I said, the Wonder Woman thing of like, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to hold it all down. I'm going to do it by myself. I think another healing thing that happens as people work with me is like this sense of like really feeling held. Mm. I don't know about you. It's like, how held do you feel in your life?
Yeah.
Did you always feel held? I didn't feel held a lot of the times. So I was the holder.
It's a great question. I have so much of the self holding that it's never been like a massive missing, but I think that's just something learned from a young age, was to be like, this is okay. We're okay. And we're just going to one foot in front of the other. And I've been less of the holder. I think that's somewhere personally for me to grow, is to feel as though, you know, I can hold. I mean, I've got my kids and my family. And
You're holding a lot, believe it.
Yeah. As a place to stand in life. But I definitely, I mean, the work you did, the way that I know you is through the School of Womanly Arts, and 10 years there, you know, witnessing and allowing and contributing and holding space for that kind of work turns you into a master. Like you cannot be around the work in the way that you were around that work and not now be masterful in that. And I think that's where your nudge really came from, the same way it came at Gap Inc., to be like, well, this status dissatisfaction is here because my work here is done. Like I've learned the skills that I need to learn. It's time for me to take this and apply it in ways that I will never even be able to imagine if I stay standing here.
Right. And right.
You're now kind of, you reach that place a few other times in between, but now you find yourself at the school with this nudge where it's like you've reached kind of mastery. I mean, I get it. We're always growing and learning.
Yeah,
that nudge is coming from, now it's your time to go and take everything that you've internalized and contribute and grown and in the ways that you've served. And it's time to go in ways that you could never possibly imagine where you are and go out into the world and do that. And I think if we as entrepreneurs or anyone who's just looking for change or feeling that sense of dissatisfaction can again take that as like a hit of oxygen, just to be like, oh, I've learned what I've been here to learn, and it's now almost my duty. Like this dissatisfaction is because I'm not being aligned, and it's time to make a shift so that I can take this out into my expression into the world now, like that part that my work here is done. And
yes.
I am, you know, so proud of you and so inspired that, you know, you got to that point and then said, well, you know, it's time to move on. The one line that you just said is, even with your business, like what wants to come now. Such an important thing to keep asking, because so many of us kind of like sentence ourselves to whatever we seared into our business in the beginning. Right. Now I must be this, because when we're a kid, it's like, I guess I'll be a teacher. I guess I'll be a this, I guess I'll be a that. And if you want to press and be like, well, what feels right now? What feels good now? We almost are like, well, I can't just change. I can't just do something else. Right. I can't just, well, that's all that there is to do.
Right.
Like to feel that nudge and then just be like, okay, well, what now? And go and figure it out.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Donna, I could talk to you for days and days and days. I feel like this is not going to be the last time you and I chat. It has been so lovely, but we do have to end.
Well, like you said, things change. We got to end.
yeah, exactly. And speaking of change,
but what's to come next?
Exactly. Tell us though, how do we stalk you? How do we learn more about you? How do we work with you? What do we do?
I love it. Well, anybody that's interested, what I always do is I sit down. If someone is interested, feeling a nudge, it's the same thing. To me, it's usually very soul led. Someone feels a nudge. They hear something, something on here sparked a, oh gosh, I could use some of that. I want some of that peace. I want some of that relaction. You just go to my website, donnaotmani.com. So it's donnaotmani.com. And there's a place on there you can fill out a form to set up. I do 90 minute consultations with people. Like we just talk for 90 minutes. That space to like really just get to know each other and feel each other to see if there's anything there for us to work on together. And to me, it's like, it's all soul led. So it's just like pay attention to the nudge. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with having a conversation. Cause to me, being held when you're going through big transitions, having someone there to hold you and support you while you work with all that inner material in service to, you know, living aligned is really important. And it's not for everyone. And it's just, again, it's like, just listen to yourself. If it feels like something, whether it's me or another coach, like really get support, because your soul has its own curriculum and those nudges are important, like Carrie and I have been saying. So
that's how you can work. I love it. Okay. So donnaotmani.com for anyone listening, I will put it in the show notes. Don't pull over and write it down. We got you. So you can check for it there. Donna, thank you so much. Thanks for being so vulnerable and so cool and such a badass example of what it takes to just keep following your nudges. Like really, really great conversation. All right, everyone listening at home, this is the end for this week, but we will see you next week. And until then, my friends, choose unstoppable. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me if you enjoyed the content to please leave a review and a rating and subscribe to the show. It'll help others find us so that we can spread this important message. We'll see you in the next episode. Until then, choose unstoppable.